Arizona's news station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I'll acknowledge sometimes it's difficult to, like, remember what the world was like in 2010 or something. You know, I have difficulty, like, placing things like that. But I don't remember a time when you couldn't talk politics at the workplace.
You couldn't remember a time?
No. Without really having a problem. That politics was not divisive to the point that even the mention of something starts you down this rabbit hole of, yeah, but what about?
But let's go back to 2010. I don't think as many people were as open to talking about politics as they are
today.
They
wouldn't volunteer that information.
No, you just kind of, you know, all right, and you kind of moved on.
You didn't know how people voted. You didn't know who they, what they thought about for president, et cetera. You worked with them. That's all you did.
But now, and I know that Facebook has been around for a hot minute, but now you're friends with a lot of coworkers online. Mm-hmm. You see what their political leans are. But I'm wondering at the workplace, how often do you talk about politics? Do you talk about it a lot? Do you try to run the other way? Or do you just kind of like, what do you say, keep your head down low, treat it like a fire?
Treat it like a hotel fire. Keep your head down. Don't use the elevators. Stay low to the ground.
Stop, drop, and roll. And we have to talk about politics, right? It's part of our job. But for most of you listening right now, it's not part of yours. So I wonder how many people talk about politics at the office. Well, a Glassdoor survey came out and said 60% of employees believe talking politics at work is unacceptable.
All right, good.
Unacceptable.
All right.
Yeah, but about 60% of them do it.
Okay. So do as I say, not as I do.
That's exactly what that is.
Really? Well, but here's what I hear. Don't talk about politics I don't agree with.
Well, yeah, that's right? It. Or what will happen, I would assume, a lot of times is you'll get two people who are in agreement, whatever that may be, ideology, you know, and somebody passes by who's not in agreement.
And there
there's the problem. In this survey, they also found that having conversations about politics is a lot more common today than it was 4 years ago.
Okay. So it is becoming more common. And I got to believe that, the companies have a variety of policies, you know, and the employee manual. And you're going to start seeing some people insert this into no discussion of politics at work. Can I tell you that one of the things I found most interesting, and maybe in this day and age, the age of Trump or Obama, I don't know when it started necessarily, like ignorance was bliss. You didn't know the person in the cubicle next to you was an absolute lunatic. Like
an absolute lunatic.
They seemed reasonable.
They don't have to be an absolute lunatic.
Well, then they start posting things online like, oh, my God, you think the earth is flat, too?
Yeah, it's one of those things where we've gotten to a point where we can't even have conversations about differences and understand that, you know what? That's okay. You have your opinion. I have mine. And let's move on and work together. I think people have become so entrenched in their beliefs and they feel like if you don't agree with their beliefs, then you are personally attacking them.
Yeah. Well, and I've never quite understood that. Also, the idea that you feel the need to defend somebody you don't know and have never met. Like, why do you feel the need to defend them? I can tell you it is so much easier, Pamela, to go through life, for example, not having a presidential candidate to defend. It is fantastic. I take no slights. I don't care what you say about any other ones. And by the way, I never would have defended them anyway. They're perfectly capable of defending themselves. You have a problem with them? Take it up with them. What the hell am I supposed to be doing about this? I'm not a surrogate for them. I'm not paid to argue their points. Who cares? And I think that one of the things you come down to is it's less a discussion and it seems to be more about you have to change somebody's mind.
That never works.
Whether
it's politics, whether it is personal choices, whether it's lifestyle.
You can't get them to change their toothpaste, for God's sakes. You know, I don't know about you Colgate people. You really need to move over to Dentine. I'm Colgate till I die.
It's strange what some people like will dig their heels in over. But yeah, I mean, politics at the workplace, I don't really understand what the benefit of that would be. There used to be those topics that you just didn't discuss openly. Mm-hmm. Politics was one of them. Money, religion, another. Now there's no, you know, there's nothing as sacred, so to speak. And I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. The bad thing for me, because frankly, I believe that you should be able to talk about anything. And so, you know, if you want to talk about politics, talk about politics. But the key word there is talk. Don't argue. Don't fight. Don't demean. Don't put down. And if you can't talk, then zip it.
Nicole hit me on the Twitter and said one of the problems are, and I wouldn't disagree with this, is you can't agree on facts. And so my whole thing is if we don't agree on established facts, well, then we don't have anything to talk about. I wish you best of luck. You're right. The earth is flat and whatever you want to believe. That's great. We don't agree on just absolutely provable facts. Then we have nothing to talk about.
Well, maybe you're not having conversations in the workplace about politics because, well, you don't have a job right now and you're out looking for one. If you want to up your chances of getting a job, and apparently there are, you know, a lot of jobs out there. The new jobs report came out this morning. It was really good.
Yeah.
And awesome. Unemployment pretty much stayed flat. I think it ticked up a little bit, but it's minuscule. If you're on the hunt for a new job, you may want to cut back on the time spent posting on social media. We've got a new study out that says that people who come across as conceited, self-absorbed, or post frequently with strong opinions on controversial topics are, you guessed it, less likely to be hired.
Yeah. And I guess I'm more surprised at those that would be surprised of that. Because you have to pretty much imagine that anytime you apply for a job or you're being considered for a job, think of it like a Tinder date. They are going to Google your name and try to figure out everything they can that's online about you before they ever meet you. And what is that image you are projecting? What are they going to find? What's going to be, you know, think about that. When you do a Google search, what shows up on the first page? What's on the second page? What is your first page when you Google you?
There hasn't been a lot of research done on how negative social media can influence a person's chances of being hired.
Okay.
So this research team, they wanted to investigate the effects of like some common negative characteristics that if you go to your Facebook page right now, mm-hmm. you would see.
Okay.
These are the three common negative characteristics Ooh. That they are taking right, a look at that will lower your chances of getting hired.
I'm looking at mine right now. Let's see if I how many I hit.
Drugs?
Okay. No. Like doing them? Yeah, I'm guessing like if you're doing beer bongs or smoking the weed on your social media page, I don't have any of that.
Strong opinions.
I've got some strong opinions.
You think?
Can I give you one? This was my opinion
yesterday. You're going to volunteer it. Okay.
I thought I was a good person. But the way I react to people who drive slow in the left lane suggests otherwise. That's a strong opinion.
I would
opinion.
Hire you just because of that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's my strong opinion yesterday.
You know what? And I like that strong opinion. I identify with that strong opinion. I see a little bit of myself in that
okay.
opinion. So you're hired.
I thought I was a good person.
Okay, you were hired.
Okay.
So drugs,
strong opinions,
conceitedness.
Conceitedness.
You're better than everyone else.
Well, I know that inherently, but I don't know if I necessarily show it.
Okay. Well, you know what? You just kind of canceled out.
Oh, did that not work?
The strong opinion with the conceitedness.
Really? Yeah.
You know what?
I like to think I'm funny online.
Everybody likes to think they're funny.
I know they do.
Whether or not they actually are, that's a different story.
Well, it was either that or really good looking, so I went with funny.
Hmm. No comment.
Ouch.
Okay. But I think that these are just important factors to kind of keep in mind. So many more people have social media sites. You know, when you're a hiring manager, you're not just looking, you know, for somebody who is going to do a job. Yes.
Obviously.
Doing the job is important. You have to have the ability to do the job for which you've applied for because
Basic
that's
skills.
What I'm paying you to do. But there's also the culture of the company that is critical. And if you get the wrong person in that company, it can really upset the balance and the culture. And it can have a detrimental impact. So now social media is a great way for companies to take a look at it and go, do we think that this person would fit into the culture we're trying to create
and
here?
And that doesn't mean necessarily that you agree or disagree with them using the politically like we talked about. That has more to do with how do you express that? right? Because it is unreasonable to think that you're going to find any workplace or whatever where everybody is in lockstep on every issue. Of course not. But how do you express and deal with, A, people you don't agree with, or that says more about who you are as a person. And that is that culture I think you talk about. Like, can you get along? I think people might be surprised to find, you talk about, like, we can't get away from politics here, but you might be surprised. I don't know if this is surprising, but we don't talk politics in the hallways around here.
No.
Like, I don't walk into the Gatos and Chad show and go, somebody, we don't talk. No. We avoid everybody around here just because we're sick of it.
Well, but I mean, the only reason why is when there's like breaking news or we've got a plan for a presidential debate or things. We talk about like the procedures, not the content, so to speak.
Right.
And frankly, outside of this building, outside of the studio, if you're out, you know, it's Friday night, it's the weekend, whatever it may be, you're hanging out with your friends or stuff. Anybody starts bringing up politics, I like, oh, wow, look, I got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Hey, I hear Riley.
Yeah.
Like, bail out. This is not going
to
end well.
And they
well.
Tend to want to talk to us about it all the time, too. Like, you're paying attention to this. I go, no, I'm not. No.
But I get so frustrated because there's so much that you and I have to consume on a daily basis, and I don't expect others to have that amount.
Yeah, real
so you're like, do you find like, yes, but, yes,
that's
but.
Not true.
And it just doesn't end well.
That's not true. That's not true. Okay, let's move on. How about the weather? Goodness, it's cold outside.
Well, this is really good dip.
The thin blue line, is that what happened up in Aurora, Colorado? And should a police department just do the right thing?
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
It's disappointing, and that might be putting it mildly. There is body cam video of an Aurora, Colorado police officer in uniform, armed with his revolver, sitting in his squad car. The sun's out. I'm going middle of the day. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
like
it's not in middle of the night. It is the middle of the day. He is unconscious with his foot on the brake in the middle of the road.
Yeah, and so you've got a squad car, police officer slumped behind the wheel of that squad car. What happened? Somebody calls the police, right? You know, officers show up. And in the body camera footage, you can hear an officer say, I think he's a little intoxicated.
Literally.
All right.
Like the old, I smell alcohol, right?
But there was no evidence taken at the scene, no blood test, no field sobriety test. We did, though, call the paramedics. They came. Officers didn't mention the smell of alcohol to the fire department.
Hmm.
They transported the officer to the hospital because they thought that either he may have had a stroke.
Oh, yeah.
Or think about what officers come into contact. Fentanyl, right?
Could've
you hear about like
skin,
the
right?
Like you get, you know, a small grain of it.
Sure.
And we're looking into an overdose situation at this point in time. So he's taken to the hospital, and at the hospital, part of their protocol is to take blood, right? And in that blood, it came back that this officer was not once, not twice, but five times over the legal limit. And he still has a job. Why does he have a job? The hospital took the blood, not the officer.
Inadmissible!
And it's his private health information, so it cannot be included. This is the district attorney in Colorado.
I think this came, we don't want to know. We don't want to get evidence that might show what we suspect. I don't think that's a cover-up, but it's a couple blocks from it. This became an ignorance is bliss moment.
Yeah.
I think this came, we don't want to know. We don't want to get evidence that might show what we suspect.
There were eight Aurora police officers who responded to the scene, even though on body cam, they say they were suspicious of or thought alcohol was there. None of them told anyone that they smelled alcohol and basically treated it like he was having a medical emergency, not that he was five times the legal limit drunk.
You know what has just become so apparent to me, and I think this week has been a fantastic example of it. Adults are hypocrites. Adults are hypocrites. We as adults, we as parents are constantly trying to teach our children, at least I know I am. Riley, if you see something wrong, if you see a kid who's being bullied or picked on, Stand up for them.
Step in.
Do the right thing.
Even if no one's watching.
It's called character.
Yes.
And be a leader, not a follower. In this situation, all eight of those officers knew what the right thing was to do. Mm-hmm, as far as right and wrong. It would be right to take evidence at the scene because you have an officer who's in uniform with a gun in a squad car, drunk as the day is long, in the middle of the day. He could have hurt somebody.
Well, and
you chose not to.
Well, let me even go. If you don't think, you know, all cops are heroes and we shouldn't do anything to cops, fine. And the whole idea behind the thin blue line, that these officers can't turn in a cop because then somebody's not there when they need backup. If you are five times the legal limit, in uniform, in a squad car, unconscious in your squad car in the middle of the street in the middle of the day, you have a problem. You have an addiction issue. Right?
That doesn't just happen.
You didn't get that way by accident. You know, like, I thought I was drinking a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi. It was Jack Daniels.
You didn't have a burger with a beer at lunch.
Exactly.
They won't even address
the idea that one of their officers is obviously battling alcoholism. That's like the kind person in me saying, this guy needs treatment. He needs help.
I mean, it wasn't a beer. It was pretty much a bottle of bourbon. I'm surprised the guy's alive. Mm-hmm. Five times the legal limit.
Could have killed him.
We saw it with our lawmakers, too, right? Acting like children at the State of the Union address. Adults.
Do the right thing.
We're a bunch of hypocrites. Your Phoenix area Subaru retailers, KTAR News, want to send you on an Arizona adventure. Text adventure to 411923 to enter to win one of four Arizona adventures, including a hiking tour of the Grand Canyon. Subaru, go where love takes you.
Should your company go online and publish everyone's salary, including yours? Just use your first name, by the way. First name and last name initial. For the whole world to see, for your coworkers to see. Good idea, bad idea. We're talking about it next on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
So there's a company out there called Buffer. All right? It's a small kind of a tech company, manages social media accounts. And for years now, they have been publicly publishing the salaries of every single employee. They say it ensures fairness and gender parity. But do you think you, thinking about where you work, would you be okay with the posting of everyone's salary?
I would. Would you?
No.
Why?
I think it leads to more problems than it would ever solve. Okay. And I think that here's where I would put it. The adult conversations, as I like to refer to them, as people when I was a boss, when they would come in and ask for raises and in any way, shape or form allude to what somebody else makes. And I said, well, this is not socialism. Some people have more value than others. And careful what you wish for, because if you want me to tell you that you want to make as much as they do, well, I think they're a more valuable employee than you are.
OK, what if you had an individual? All right. Who saw that, you know, person A made more than they did.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And they came to you with the value that they brought the company. And it wasn't just a, hey, I saw that person makes more money and I want more money. But the person came to you and said, the value that I bring to the company is this. The value to the company that I bring is this. I see this individual is making more. And I feel like the value that I bring is comparable, maybe not the same, but more so than what I'm making now, and have that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how that's a bad thing to have.
I think the problem is that no one is going to come in saying, you know what, I think I make too much. I took a look at what other people around here make, and I'm obviously overpaid.
But that's not the point of it.
So the idea is to do nothing but everybody gets a raise to what? The highest paid person's working?
No, because I agree with you. Not everybody is worth the same. The story that just sticks...
I would argue almost no two people are worth the same.
The story that sticks in my head is you are familiar with Morning Joe on MSNBC. Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough.
The TV show.
Mika Brzezinski wrote a book, and it's called Know Your Value. And ladies, if you've struggled with negotiating at your job or knowing your value to get the raise, pick up the book. It's a game changer. What I learned in the book was Mika almost left Morning Joe. She was a tremendous asset to it. And she almost left because she and Joe shared an office, kind of like you and I do, mm-hmm. right? We all in the same office. And he was talking to his agent. And they were all very open with one another. And she found out through the conversation that he had with his agent that he made more. And it wasn't that like, oh, he's making more than me. She recognized he should be making more than her. He was a bigger name. He created the show. He was the lead on it. He was driving it.
She it's called could, Morning Joe.
Correct. She yeah. could concede yeah. that he deserved to make more.
Okay.
How much more? Did he make twice as much? Did he make triple as much? Did he make five times as much? She found out that he made 14 times as much as she did.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, wow, you devalue me so much. Does he deserve to make, I don't know, five times as much?
Maybe.
Whatever it may be.
Maybe there's negotiation.
She's like, I could understand that, yeah. but 14 times as much, I'm being taken advantage of.
I think the only thing, again, the danger, I say danger, just be prepared. Again, there's some adult conversations that may happen. If you go in and demand to, quote, be paid your worth, you may find out what your worth is to that company. Now, NBC, MSNBC, whatever, the owner decided to change Mika's compensation she demanded it.
No. Do you know why they changed her compensation? She went in and she asked five times. They didn't meet it. She was ready to quit.
Yeah.
Joe Scarborough took his bonus from NBC and put it in her account without telling her because he saw that she was an investment in her.
Mm-hmm. Then he saw the value.
He saw the value. His own personal money. She was offended by that. Like, I don't need a handout from you. But she kept it. She then gained confidence mm-hmm. to negotiate in a different capacity. Hence the reason why, you know, I'd recommend. And because here in her book, she also, it's not just, I think there's this misconception that the higher up the ladder you get as a woman, the more confident you get with this stuff. And
not
you
necessarily,
don't.
Right?
She talked to Sheryl Sandberg, you know, from Facebook, Nora Ephron, a filmmaker, Valerie Jarrett, President Obama's senior advisor, Arianna Huffington, these women that have all gone through the same thing. But I think publishing salaries. I don't know why that is such a sacred cow. And we asked you on our open mic line, 602-200-2733. Would you be down for it? It happens in the public sector. Why not in the private?
Yeah, this is Martin from Phoenix. I'm all in for it. That way people know what you get paid. You are paid for what you know and what you're worth.
I don't think they should have did that, dude. I know going in reviews when you're at work, they give you a piece of paper and say, hey, keep it to yourself. And I remember one time when I worked at this nursing home, right? I was there for like 4 or 5 years. Uh-huh. And then I found out what the people was making in front of me. Oh, man, the creator animosity, dude.
I have a UPS driver.
Okay.
Okay. Well, not, he said, don't use my name. I won't use your name. He listens all the time. By the way, we have a lot of delivery
Thank
drivers
you.
Listen. Thank you very
we
much.
I appreciate that.
So here is his thing. Look at that. Hey, he has a piece of paper. It's like folded up. It looks like he carries it with him, right? It's folded up here. And it says what the drivers make. It says what their wage, their pension, their health care, and their hourly and their yearly rate is. And he goes, we all make the same amount. This is UPS drivers. Now, he pointed out, he goes, we all know what everyone at UPS is making, depending on like what department you work in, what size truck you drive, you work in the warehouse, etc. And he said, even though some drivers work more than others, we all get paid the same. And I was like, are you okay with that? And if you are, what's the incentive to work harder? My concern isn't everybody works down to the lowest worker out there. What's the minimum I need to do to not get fired since we're all going to make the same amount? That's the concern.
That would never go through my mind. And if you have an employee, if that's what goes through their mind, then they're not going to be an employee for you for very long.
He said very few drivers ever quit.
Right.
And by the way, when you start seeing the numbers here at UPS, guys, the driver's making $140,000 a year. He put this, he goes, I got a guy that's been working here for 46 years. He started in high school.
Good for him.
Yeah, that's amazing. Don't get me wrong. But they have a union. And that's how unions work, where here's the union scale. Everybody makes X. And if you do this job, well, I've been doing this job for a year. You make X. You've been doing this job for 10 years. Nope, you still make X. That job is worth X. That is not the way a lot of people value themselves. You want to think that if you work harder, you're going to make more money, or you bring more value, you're going to make more money. I think people want to think that.
They want to think that, but how many people feel like they're working hard and they're bringing value and still not making the money?
Well, I'll remind you of some of the lessons I learned from my dad, from Jose, who I once told him I wasn't getting paid what I was worth. And he said, you're getting paid exactly what you're worth. And the minute someone's willing to pay you more, you're worth more.
Hey, you know what? We appreciate those phone calls on the open mic line brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley, the leader in Arizona real estate. We'll get your home sold guaranteed, or she'll buy it for cash. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
Might be one of the reasons, though, why you need to have your faith in humanity restored. Pamela says she can do that for you. It's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I acknowledge and admit I don't watch a lot of the morning TV, but I am familiar with Gayle King, one of the hosts of CBS This Morning. She is embroiled in some controversy that involves some very interesting names, from Kobe Bryant to Lisa Leslie to Snoop Dogg. Probably a group that you would not normally lump together. But she is getting some heat, I guess, after an interview she did with former WNBA player Lisa Leslie, who also happened to be a close friend of Kobe Bryant's. And what happened is she said that she had a relatively long interview with Lisa Leslie about a variety of things, right? In that interview, she asked Lisa Leslie specifically about the rape allegations, the case going back to 2003 with Kobe Bryant.
It's been said that his legacy is complicated because of a sexual assault charge, which was dismissed in 2003, 2004. Is it complicated for you as a woman, as a WNBA player?
It's not complicated for me at all. Even if there's a few times that we've been at a club at the same time, Kobe's not the kind of guy. I've never been like, you know, at least go get that girl or tell her or send her this. I have other NBA friends that are like that. Mm-hmm. Kobe's, he was never like that.
Okay, so she's giving a little bit of a character witness, so to speak.
Can I just say that I've never been overly comfortable with those things. So the few times she went to a bar with Kobe Bryant, he didn't attempt to sexually assault somebody. Okay, that's the old, you live next door to a serial killer, and you know, I don't understand how he can be a serial killer. He didn't try to kill me.
Well, that's her experience, and she's entitled to it.
Right, but I wouldn't expect Kobe Bryant in public to act inappropriately.
Is it even a fair question to talk about it, considering he's no longer with us and that it was resolved? Or is it really part of his history?
I think that the media should be more respectful at this time.
All right. Again, her opinion, and she's more than entitled to it. Mm. But the opinions of others that have come out at Gayle King, given that CBS has released just a small snippet of that interview, which is what they do. You know what I mean? They're promoting this interview.
Sure.
Some producer picked some cut. It got put into a commercial, mm-hmm. and it goes to the masses, whether it be in television, whether it be on social media, whether it be on YouTube, whatever it may be, it gets out there. But it was taken out of context.
Well, people thought the entire interview was basically her questioning Lisa Leslie about Kobe Bryant's rape allegation.
And because it was taken out of context, there's this massive backlash against Gayle King, and she's feeling it. And not only is she feeling it, she's upset by it.
I know that if I had only seen the clip that you saw, I'd be extremely angry with me too. I am mortified, I'm embarrassed, and I am very angry. Unbeknownst to me, my network put up a clip from a very wide-ranging interview, totally taken out of context, and when you see it that way, it's very jarring.
I don't think she has a ton to apologize for. It strikes me as, like, you know, the person that writes the article versus the person that writes the headline for it is not always the same person. Mm-hmm. You know, if you looked a little deeper into this, you'd find out that I don't think she was...
You can't expect people to know that, though.
Right, but she wasn't... I don't think she was being disrespectful or in any way, shape, or form, and I think it's a valid question. Anyway, still might be one of the reasons why you think we might be going to hang in a handbasket. Pamela says she restore your faith in humanity.
Yeah, you know what they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. But in this case, you could say a video of a Nebraska teacher who got an unexpected gift from his students. A few weeks ago, you had Mr. Payne, and his basketball shoes were actually stolen from his classroom.
Ouch.
And they were, the shoes that he uses to go play pickup games after school, and was quite upset about it. And not only was he upset, so were his students. His students were, insulted that somebody would do this to their beloved teacher, and they did something about it. They got together. These are middle schoolers. They got together and they raised the money to buy him new shoes. They wrote him a card and they gave him a bag. And he's got to open the card first. He opens up the card. And then as he goes to open up the bag, he's like, "You guys are scaring me here."
Are you serious?
Okay. Yes.
Shaking his head. He starts crying. And now he's crying. They made their teacher cry, right? And it was such an awesome moment of students like doing the right thing. And it was more than a pair of shoes. It's about doing things to build everybody up around you. I try to show my kids this. I think that lesson has sunk in for many in a turn, reaffirming my purpose and my ideals.
Pamela, restoring your faith in humanity. Hey, have a great weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Pamela and I, we look through the double pane bulletproof glass. We see DJ Tommy Two-Tone. We see super producer Stevie Z and Bob McClay.